Hey, it's the seventh edition of the 38th Parallel. I am Shane, also known as the Hopitarian. I gave myself that nickname because whatever. And I'm with Alan Mosley. He's the host of It's Too Late With.
Yeah, I'm Alan Mosley. I'm also known as Alan Mosley.
You should have given yourself a nickname. I mean, come on.
The nickname I had for like 3 weeks back in the old days was the tip of the spear of the Liberty Movement.
Well, I'm glad you didn't have that one for long.
Whew. Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful. That's what she said. Yeah. But yeah.
So yeah, how are you doing? Doing okay?
I'm doing good. Though it's Friday night. I'm feeling surprisingly rested. Like normally by this time of the week, I'm just and I've just got huge bags under my eyes. Don't worry, I still have those. But I'm super tired and I'm threatening you with my nighttime gummies literally on air. I'm actually feeling good. This was a good week. I feel good. Everything is going great and I don't foresee any controversies in the future.
Well, speaking of controversies, there's apparently going to be a TikTok ban. Did you know that they're going to be banning TikTok? Did you know this?
I did.
Yeah. So actually, I wanted to share something, but I don't know if you've seen this or not, but it's a someone from Congress, one of those people there. He's a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's Representative Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin, for those who are just listening. And he's talking about the TikTok ban and everything like that. And well, I'll just play the clip for you. It's about 39 seconds.
The only impacted sites are those associated with foreign adversary apps, such as TikTok.com. It can never be used to penalize individuals. The text explicitly prohibits that, and it cannot be used to censor speech. It takes no position at all on the content of speech, only foreign adversary control. Foreign adversary control of what is becoming the dominant news platform for Americans under 30. This is a common sense measure to protect our national security. I urge my colleagues to support this critical bipartisan legislation.
So he said, becoming the dominant news platform for Americans under 30. Mm-hmm. So they're going after TikTok. But are they going to also, if TikTok does actually get banned, are they going to go after Facebook? Are they going to go after Instagram? Basically Meta. And are they even going to go after X? Like, I'm sure some Democrats don't like X. Are they going to try and go after them now? Or like, how's this whole thing going to go?
Yeah. Okay. Also, all right. So there's a ton to unpack just even in his statement, much less the legislation, which the legislation is not super long, by the way. I mean, the bill is only a couple of pages long, which is fairly rare. So first of all, anytime any congressman ever stands up there and talks about common sense legislation, that's how you instantly know it's garbage. That's number one. Number two is he heralded how it's a bipartisan effort. Now, it is true. Now, keep in mind, this bill gives more power to the office of the presidency, which right now is Joe Biden. It gives Joe Biden more power over censorship online in the United States. Yeah. Only 15 Republicans voted against it. The overwhelming majority of the Republican representatives voted this very day to give Joe Biden more power over their speech. That's
kind of weird.
Yeah, boy, isn't that weirdest thing that. So another thing, because he mentioned it's in the legislation, and it's something that he mentioned there in his little thing, is he talked about so he's talking about TikTok in specifically, but he's talking about platforms that are foreign adversary controlled. It was like foreign adversary controlled, and it's another A word.
Application.
So FACA is what they're shortening it as. Motherfucker.
Yeah.
But the thing is like, okay, that's a really loaded term, because who's a foreign adversary? Who are we at war with? Because, I mean, if you're at war with someone, they would be a foreign adversary, right? Well, who are we at war with? Are we at war with China? Because I didn't think we were. I don't recall there being a declaration of war from Congress to go to war with China or to go to war with Russia or you know, whoever else.
This so could be considered like a beginning step towards that if you ban something that they, quote unquote, control. Yeah.
So yeah. So in the legislation, they do give a few examples of what is a FACA. So they talk about platforms whose primary ownership and hosting exists within a foreign adversary state. And the examples were Russia, China, North Korea, Iran. I think those were the four big ones.
Oh, the axis of evil.
Yeah, it's the new axis of evil. How about that? Except for this axis of evil would wipe the West off the face of the earth. They're slightly more powerful than, you know, Somalia, but that's a whole other conversation.
Would Russia actually do that? They can't even fight against Ukraine.
Yeah, if they didn't have to worry about the nuclear fallout, the war wouldn't last as long.
Good point.
But that being neither here nor there, so so there's all these open-ended things of, well, what's a foreign adversary? Those are the foreign adversaries right now, which is debatable at best. But who's going to decide what that is? Who decides who a foreign adversary is? Because there's a couple of different criteria. There's the criteria of, oh, okay, well, who is targeted by this legislation? So one of the criteria is that they're predominantly controlled within the borders of a foreign adversary. And the other one, by the way, guess who has the discretion over enforcement? The office of the president. So if Joe Biden were to decide, wait a minute, we got to add Joe Bob to this list because they pose a national security risk.
Yeah,
the president has the discretion to declare. It says in the legislation that they have to give a report to Congress, but then that's bullshit. It doesn't matter. Whatever they say is going to go. So they're giving the executive branch the power to declare a new foreign adversary or declare that a particular entity is a national security risk, and then they are then included in that list, and then they can either be forced to sell or they can be banned outright. And their enforcement, if you're wondering, like, well, how do they do that? So their enforcement mechanism is that they can be fined. I think it was something like $5,000 per instance of a user accessing like this propaganda or this illegal content, you know, this thought crime. So to put that as an example, you know, if 100 million users of Apple were to access, you know, TikTok and TikTok were banned and they were fined $5,000, that means Apple would be fined $500 billion for having broken that law, which means they would just be wiped off the face of the earth. So that's their enforcement mechanisms. They basically say it's so expensive for a company to even flirt with enforcement of this regulation that they're all just going to deplatform. They're all just going to ban the app, deplatform it, remove it from their app store, you know, whatever. Yeah. But okay, so TikTok, like that's the one that's in the bill, right? Oh, we got to get TikTok because that guy's talking about how, well, everyone 30 and under, they're getting all their news from TikTok. It's like, okay, I have some questions, such as one, if you think it's bad that they're getting their news from TikTok, but you think it would be good for them to get their news from CNN or MSNBC, why do you think it is they're getting their news from TikTok and not choosing to get their news from the sources that you approve of? And of course, then the obvious second question is that if they have the discretion to just decide that this entity poses a national security risk, so we're going to give them 30 days to sell, essentially, to divest, to sell their stake and put it in the hands of essentially an ownership group that the regime approves of or be destroyed. Why can't the offices of the president say, well, you know, Elon Musk is interfering with our elections. Therefore we're going to ban X unless he sells it to this ownership group. There is absolutely nothing to stop them from doing that other than to fight it in court. There's two problems with fighting it in court, of course. One, you're going to a federal court to fight against the federal government. That's always a winning strategy right there. And two, it's like, how much money do you want to spend over the next decade hashing it out? Well, they're going to enforce it first. And while they've already enforced it, then you get to fight about it for the next decade. So that's why you just don't, a lot of these things, a lot of times when these things come to be, they just are, and there's no fighting back. And then, you know, maybe there's a court ruling years and years later. This is, oh yeah, this was unconstitutional. We overstepped, whatever, but the damage has been done, right? You know, think of COVID as an example. Like, everyone's memory holding all the shit that's happened in the last 3 to 4 years, but it's the damage has been done now. So that's totally what's going to happen with this legislation. It's going to the Senate. It's probably going to pass the Senate. So it's probably going to go to Joe Biden's desk, and Joe Biden's going to sign it. It passed the House overwhelmingly. The last thing I'll say is that, again, so he really nailed down the point that this was a bipartisan effort. And of course, as they all say, bipartisan, you know, when stupid and evil get together to do something really bad, that's called bipartisanship.
Well, the first question you're talking about is like how all these people are getting their news from TikTok as opposed to CNN or wherever. It's, I mean, one is because these people are on their phones probably, what, 75% of their day? They're on their phone looking at whatever. And TikTok is right there if they downloaded it. And it's a lot easier to access videos on whatever you want to see from TikTok as opposed to CNN. You gotta go through all these boring articles. I don't want to read. I just want to watch videos. So their attention spans are way lower than they are back then.
Even if you want to buy like the foreign adversary BS of, oh, well, it's just a psyop by China. They're just spying on everyone and taking their data. And then they're turning around and using the algorithms to suggest certain topics, certain themes to try to paint a public policy position, you know, in another country. In this case, they're trying to get Americans to think one way or another based on algorithmic stuff. Like, okay, let's just say for argument's sake, all that's true. Then really the only thing they're mad about is the US government wants complete control of all the propaganda in the United States. They don't want to share any propaganda with China. They want all the propaganda. So like you had mentioned Meta, you know, Facebook. Facebook's fine because Facebook is totally, you want to talk about psyops controlled by the government, dude. There's a reason why they call it Fedbook, all right?
Yeah.
So Facebook, this has been talked about ad nauseum. Like, so all academia, all the universities, all the corporate press, all the major media outlets. And then now, with the exception of maybe X, look, Elon Musk is not perfect. He's got problems too, but I'll willingly admit he's way better than a Mark Zuckerberg or a Bill Gates or whatever. But all the rest of big tech, all the other major platforms, like a Facebook, for instance, Instagram, whatever, Meta, all of those are totally in the tank. All those are totally in the tank for the regime, for the US empire. So the only reason they're upset about TikTok is A, people are using it, and B, they're getting information that's outside of the paradigm that the US empire wants. That's it. Now, is China spying on you? Yeah, sure. So is the US. So is France. So is the UK. So is Germany. Everyone's spying on you, dude. I had this conversation with Greg Carpenter, who is a cybersecurity expert, who's actually was with the NSA for a while. And so this is a guy who has been inside the belly of the beast, right? And I had asked him this question. He's like, okay, are they spying on me? He's like, yeah, 100%. I was like, okay. So the question then is not, are they doing it? Because they're totally doing it. The question is A, could you, would you, should you do anything about it? And B, what poses me a greater threat? And so the answer to the first question is that, well, really all that really happens for a lot of these like mega conglomerates that spy on you is they're taking your data and then they're selling it. They're selling your data. And then now your metadata is on servers and they have so much information about you. But can China do anything with that? Can Iran do anything with that? Can North Korea, they're running their Windows NT off of coal burning engines. Like, can they do anything with your metadata? Not really. I mean, nothing that's going to seriously put a risk of your physical well-being. Can the US government? Oh, yes. So at the end of the day, the last question I asked him in the interview was that, and it's obviously an easy question, but which of these poses a greater risk to my living, breathing life right now, China or the United States government? And he said, the United States government, and it probably, I mean, we're talking about like a factor of 100, a factor of 1,000. The Chinese Communist Party is not going to murder you. Now, if World War III starts, there's at least an open chance, especially if you go over there with a rifle. But is the U.S. government going to murder you? I don't know. Depends on if you have anything to say about Boeing.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so would you rather have the person spying on you speaking English? At least you can understand what they're saying, or Chinese. I have no idea what they're saying. They're talking to me. They could be saying, I'm going to kill you. And you're like, I don't know.
I mean, this is for our boomer audience out there, because the boomer ones are always like, for enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, this is one thing that
they always forget the domestic part, don't they?
No, they don't. They always say that whenever. Now, granted, they only say it when someone of the opposite political party does something they don't like. They never think right. that their guy could ever do anything wrong. But they always say that. It's like, okay, but even in that paradigm, which of those poses you a greater threat? The one that's foreign or the one that's domestic? The one that's domestic poses you a much more serious, real-life existential threat to your well-being than the one on the other side of the world. I'm not happy. I don't. First of all, I despise the Chinese state. The Chinese Communist Party is obviously unimaginably evil. But the U.S. Empire is also unimaginably evil. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend. I'm not going to split hairs about it.
Well, at least the Chinese, you know, they know Kung Fu, right? So there's that part. I mean, they could fight me, you know, but I don't know.
Yeah. Which one of these was the poll that I did? I don't remember now. Was it this one? No, it's not that one. It was this one. Yeah, I know you know that one. But I did this. I know you can't really see it too well on there in the split screen, but I did this poll this past week of, do you believe that the American ruling class, government, military, industrial complex, corporations, whatever, has people murdered? And I don't mean have they ever. I mean, are they doing it right now? Do they have innocent Americans killed right now? 95.8% said yes. If almost 96% of respondents think that the ruling elite here now could and do murder people for their own self-interest, then yeah, I'm a tad bit more concerned about that than China. I think everyone is, whether they really are. They may not want to admit it for political expediency reasons, but they know that that's the real answer.
Well, I think maybe, I don't know how much of this plays into it, but it wouldn't surprise me either. Like, how many of these politicians have any hand in what TikTok is doing? Because I'm sure if they had a hand in the propaganda that was going on, or propaganda, quote unquote, that's going on TikTok, if American politicians had like a lot more say in that, because like we're saying Meta, I mean, they had their Mark Zuckerberg going in talking, blah, blah, during the election, blah, 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 yeah. Pretty much getting pussy whipped. Hey, you didn't do what we were telling you to do. Why didn't you do this? Oh, you know, hey, and Donald Trump's calling Mark Zuckerberg Zucker Schmuck now. So,
well, you saw over this. For him. You saw this past week with AOC. So AOC was saying that they should go after Twitter. They should go after X. They were saying that X was engaging in election interference. Right? I mean, as in right now. And so they should go shut down X. So she was saying that this week. So she was already. So AOC, which is a far left Democrat representative, was making statements this very week saying, gosh, I wish we had the power to go after platforms like Twitter that do things we don't like. And then the Republicans joined the Democrats to give the president that power. And just to prove that it's no fluke, so Elon Musk responded to this. He said, look, we actually made the algorithms open source. We demonstrated that the only change we made since he took over is he actually evened the playing field. He just made it where instead of all the left-wing stuff being promoted and all the conservative stuff demoted, he just made it neutral. Yeah. But But he jokingly, halfway jokingly, but halfway seriously pointed out, in her mind, it being an evil, going to even instead of pro-progressive is election interference. If her definition of election interference is not promoting Democrats enough, and that's the party in power in the White House, then it's not exactly a huge leap to think that that power just might be used inappropriately. And then the Republicans voted for it, except for 15.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. You know, we don't like Joe Biden. We think he was some kind of a puppet. You know, they stole the election or whatever. But yeah, go ahead and ban TikTok. That's fine. That's okay. But I mean, AOC talking about Twitter. Okay, look. Maybe we should just get rid of all the social media platforms. We wouldn't even be able to talk to each other. How about that? Is that what they want? They just don't want any social media platforms ever. Fine. I have Meta, no X, no TikTok. Screw it. Let's not talk to each other ever. Fuck it.
I think if they had the power and the political capital to do that, they totally would. I mean, I know you're being hyperbolic, but it's all a matter of political capital. If they thought they could get away with doing that and there not be serious pushback or legal consequences, they would totally do that. Are you kidding? Because in that case, it would, if we essentially went back, because this is one of the things that, you know, and I don't mean, I'm not here to make fun of boomers, but I find myself doing it despite my best efforts. But, you know, there's a lot of boomers out there that say, oh, all this technology, your smartphones, the internet, we ought to go, back in my days, it's you come home from work, you kick back in the recliner with a Budweiser and your newspaper. I got my newspaper right here. Maybe we turn on NBC or CBS or ABC and I've got my newspaper and I knew what was going on in the world. It's like, yeah, you knew what those people wrote and said was going on in the world. We do live, if there's any silver lining to any of this, is that we live in a world where when Israel is, you know, drops a pallet of food, waits for people to go to get it and then mows them down, we know it happened because like their cell phone video and then the information gets disseminated and all that. Would we have known about that in 1979? If this were 1982, do you think we would have known it ever happened? Or would we have known it? If we did find out it happened, would we have found out like 20 years later, if at all, versus things that we know about today because of cell phone cameras and social media and independent media and journalists and stuff. So the fact that you would restrict that at all, like, look, it again, I'm willing to give you that. You know, maybe you restricted China's ability to propagandize American youth by like 2.2% if you ban TikTok. But it's not a, but this is the thing that people always forget. It was never about banning. If they do ban, I think the jury's out. But let's say they ban TikTok. And of course, what does ban TikTok mean? What they're trying to force TikTok to sell to some ownership group in the West, who's then basically sell it to someone like a Mark Zuckerberg, who will then use TikTok to just only promote US propaganda. That's what they want to have happen. But let's say they ban TikTok. It was never about banning TikTok. It was about having that gun in their arsenal so that if down the road there is some dissenting voices they want to get rid of, they can do it. And they'll cite this bill. They'll say, oh, well, you know, thanks to this code, we can go after this voice or this platform. And the precedent was set when we passed the FACA Act in 2024 that was signed into law by Joe Biden. And we will use that as precedent to go after this platform, then go after this platform, then go after this platform. I actually had a conversation recently with a buddy of mine where the general gist of the conversation was kind of this theme. Of every single time some major event happens in America, and then there's this emotional rush to response, and then government usurps a ton of power, and then, of course, it's horribly mismanaged, and then it's an enormous boondoggle, and then the public gets really upset. So take COVID as an example. So all this money is spent. There's this huge consolidation of power. All these people's lives are destroyed, some permanently. And then, you know, a year goes by, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years goes by. And then they try to memory hole that stuff because there's tons of public backlash. And the public at large is angry. And they're like, I can't believe this happened. We're never going to let this happen again until the next time it happens. Because the same kind of people who were angry that the government, the central government, the federal government, usurped all this authority during COVID will now support more legislation for the government to do things like ban TikTok. And it doesn't occur to them that it might be that the same Leviathan that will take any amount of power you're willing to give and never give it back is also the people that want to ban TikTok. They're also the people that want to fund Ukraine. I mean, it's the same people. It's not like these are different random coalitions that don't work in the same halls of Congress. These are the same people. So the people that you are just blue in the face screaming mad at for the way that they've handled basically everything in the last 30 years of American history, they're cheering for them now to ban TikTok, and they don't get it.
So someone commented, the head of the ADL was on a hot mic talking about Gen Z and TikTok being a problem coming up in the next election. So
So Jay Forte is talking about there was a clip out, and this was before this recent really big push for the legislation to ban TikTok and the FACA Act and whatever, where it would seem to, I guess if you're a conspiracy type, which I know that none of you guys listening are, it would seem to suggest that they had this in the crosshairs well before now, and that this is just their plan. This is just them putting the plan into motion.
Like, would the timing kind of be conspicuous too? It's like, oh, it's election year. It's kind of random, or like they're planning on this whole thing, or.
I mean, this whole upcoming election cycle is just such chaos because of course, from an electorate standpoint, you have the public overwhelmingly said, we don't want Trump versus Biden. And then what do you get? You get Trump versus Biden because that's the way the system works. And you have Republicans who are saying, well, we're just going to go out there and get out the vote. But they also think that the last election was stolen. And I haven't had a single one explain to me how the last election was 100% stolen, but this election 100% won't be. I've had zero of them give me a convincing explanation for that little quantity.
Maybe it'll be like 75% this time. It won't be 100%, but it won't be.
Yeah. That midnight graph will only go halfway up and then over.
Yeah, it'll go like 50%. Yeah.
I mean, it just. Oh my God. Yeah. So it's just unbelievable the circles these people will run in. But then vice versa. I mean, you look at it from the left wing side of things. So they've got a literal dementia patient as their incumbent. But they're kind of stuck right now because it's like, well, they can't just rip Biden out root and branch because he has a vice president. And that vice, and traditionally and politically, that vice president would say, well, if the president goes down, it's my turn. And nobody wants Kamala Harris. The left wing doesn't want Kamala Harris. In fact, the Democrats might actually not want Kamala Harris even more than the Republicans don't want Kamala Harris.
Maybe that was Joe Biden's, or the people around him, smartest move. Say, hey, they don't like me, but you know who they really don't like? No.
This was totally a plan that backfired on them. So they put in Kamala Harris. So? They put in Kamala Harris for no other reason than she checks boxes. She was a minority female, so that's why she got the gig. The problem now is that now they're having buyer's remorse on, well, we think that it would be better for us to move on from Biden, but we can't because we would have to also get rid of Kamala.
Because they saw some of her speeches while she was vice president, like, oh God.
But they always, they already knew that.
She sounds like a fucking...
Well, she's an idiot, but they already knew that. It wasn't a secret that she was a moron. She was always a moron.
But now it's like out in the like for real public, not just out in California, wherever she was.
And the thing about Biden is that you remember back in 2020, the first go round with Trump and Biden, you know, I mean, then everyone was talking about, oh, Biden has dementia, he's too old, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But he was actually like in the debate that he had with Trump, he was fairly sharp. And of course, you know, whatever history is what it is, he won the election. But I mean, he's declined a lot since then. Biden in 2024 is nowhere near where he was in 2020.
Trump isn't the same either. I mean, like you said, that election or the debate or whatever, where Trump's just constantly la 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 la.
Yeah, he's just screaming.
Biden's just standing there. And I was like, you know what? Maybe that's how you defeat this guy. Just don't respond to him. Just let him talk. Let him just move his mouth around, and Joe Biden's like, shut up.
Oh yeah. That debate was terribly damaging to Trump. Trump looked like somebody who was so totally convinced of his own superiority that he's not, there's no debate. Like, you can watch Trump for 5 minutes and tell there's no debate prep. He does not have good people around him. Or if he has those people, he's not listening. He's just basically saying, whatever, throws the cliff notes aside. I got this, you guys. And he's walking into to a presidential debate. Like, look, I'm sorry. I don't care who see, that's the thing, is that it's one of those things of like the types of things that smart people and dumb people do. So smart people don't have to not study. It's the smart people who study the most, because the smart people realize they don't know everything and they're not perfect. It's dumb people who think they know everything and that they're perfect. Trump did not look good head to head against Biden. It shouldn't come as that big of a shock that the result was the way it was. The problem going into 2024 is that you expect Trump to have made improvements, but so far it appears he has not. Everyone who says, oh, Trump's going to be more well-prepared, I don't see it. All the people say, oh, well, Trump's learned his lesson. He hasn't said it. He certainly hasn't demonstrated that he has. And he's doubled down on all of his worst tendencies. And again, vice versa, Biden in 2024 is significantly more degraded than Biden was in 2020. So you have a much slower, much weaker, much more mentally addled Biden against a Trump who is doubling down on all the worst impulses. And that's what you get as your general election this year. And all the more reason for the swamp, whatever terminology you want to use, the deep state, whatever. It's all the more important for them to have absolute complete control of the flow of information. This bill that passed the House today is absolutely for no reason at all than for the U.S. empire to have a bigger share of control over the flow of information. And the fact that Republicans, this is the thing. I actually said this to Tyler earlier today. I hate Republicans more than I hate Democrats. And the reason for that is that Democrats are unspeakably evil. Republicans claim to be the party of conservatism and constitutional values and are unspeakably evil. At least the Democrats don't lie to you and say that they're for the Constitution and conservative and traditional values. Yeah. They just come out and do evil things. The Republicans claim that they are those things and then turn around and do evil things. That's why I hate the Republicans more. They're evil plus they're hypocrites. So the party of traditional values and constitutionalism voted today to give a dementia-addled Democratic puppet president powers to silence their speech.
Well, I want the 2015, 2016 Donald Trump. That Trump was fucking fantastic. Just how hilarious he was. I mean, I'm sure 90% of the things that are coming out of his mouth is like, what? But just the put downs that he was going against Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. Oh,
beautiful. See, that's the thing. That Trump was better because Trump was only better because he was an unknown commodity. Whereas now, having had 4 years in the office of the presidency,
right?
He had 4 years to make mistakes that he can't. That not only can he not run away from, he's running towards them. He's running back towards his mistakes. Whereas back in 2015-16, he didn't have that on the record, number one. And number two, and I really think this is one of those things that can't be memory hold. People have such a recency bias. So in their minds, they only think of basically COVID into because that was the very end of Trump's term, right? Yeah. 2020. So they only remember the end of his term, the pandemic, and then they remember losing to Biden, and then a rematch. That's all the public consciousness remembers. They don't remember that Trump that you just mentioned, that was allegedly better and had all these zingers, he benefited from the fact that he was running against the most hated woman on planet Earth. Joe Biden is awful. Yeah. Joe Biden is absolutely terrible, but he's not so hated as Hillary Clinton. It was so bad. It didn't have to be Donald Trump. Like, that's the thing, is that I'm not a MAGA cultist, so I don't think it was Donald Trump. Had it been another personality equally as bombastic as him, but not necessarily that man, if they could have come in and won the primary, they would have also won the presidency, because they would be not Hillary Clinton. I mean, why did Biden win? Biden won because he wasn't Donald Trump. That's the political atmosphere we live in, is that the campaign slogans, not literally, more figuratively, the campaign slogans this year are, I'm still not Donald Trump. In 2020, it was, I'm not Donald Trump versus, you know, whatever. I rolled out a vaccine in 8 months. And now it's, I'm still not Donald Trump. And, you know, basically kind of like the W. Bush, miss me yet, you know, remember how I handled the pandemic, you guys? See, I mean, that's the thing. It's like it's two terrible choices. You have one guy that doesn't realize that the weakest part of his platform he's championing as the best, because he's just can't read the room to save his life. And the other side, Biden's entire platform is, I'm not Donald Trump. His entire platform in 2020 is, I'm not Donald Trump.
Yeah. And I think we've talked about this before, about not this election, but whether it's going to be 28 or 32, like who's going to be up during that time? Because, for example, if Biden wins re-election and he does make it through those 4 years, which would be a miracle, is Donald Trump going to run again? Because I'm sure his ego's like, I got to run again. I have to win again, man. Come on. Like,
Trump would not run again, because it's just, first of all, he'd be too big of a loser. You can't lose that much and then have the trust of the electorate ever again. That's number one. And number two, he'd be too old. Like, if Trump wins this time, then at the end of his term, he will be the age that too old Joe Biden is right now.
Yeah, right.
So if he were to lose, then no, he would literally just be Biden right now. And if by some crazy chance his hubris allowed him to run again, then all of his opponents would ever have to do is just play clip after clip of him talking about how Biden's too old and needs to quit. Just put him on replay, because he'd be that's basically a presidential term is about the difference in age. Donald Trump is not a young, spry man compared to Joe Biden. He would be like the younger sibling in the same generation family.
Yeah.
So he'd be too old. But I think the bigger question is, you know, a lot of people are talking about things like, well, what's going to happen after Trump? Like, let's just say hypothetical. Well, first of all, who's Trump going to pick as his VP? And I know you want to talk about somebody else picking VPs. Who's Trump going to pick as his VP? And the next one is that, well, you know, if Trump, let's say hypothetically Trump wins, well, that would be his second term. So he's done, right? That would be the end of Trump's political career after that. What comes next? Well, that's why his VP choice is so important, because generally speaking, if you've never been president before and you're running for president and you win the primary and then you're picking a vice president, it's not that it's not important. But it's not as important, because if you actually could win the presidency, then you could win it again. So you still have another 4 years after this 4 years. Trump doesn't. If Trump will be a lame duck president, even if he wins, because that'll be his second term, which means his vice presidential pick isn't just trying to sew up the electorate. It's also who he's essentially anointing
as like
be the GOP front runner 4 years from now. That's a really important pick. Trump probably doesn't understand anything that just came out of my mouth, because he doesn't care. He doesn't keep up with me. I'm not convinced he knows anything about politics. But it is a super important pick for just for the future alone. But even if Trump loses, it'd be it's a similar situation if Trump loses. If he loses, then again, after another 4 years of Biden or whoever replaces weekend at Biden's, then it'll be, okay, well, where do we go from here? Trump's done. MAGA's over. Yeah. Who is the next? Even if MAGA is still a thing, who is their candidate? Are they and if they have a candidate, are they going to support that person as vociferously as they supported Donald Trump, or are they just going to kind of fade away into the pages of history? I don't know. Those are important questions, but I don't, by the way, those are rhetorical questions. I have no idea. I don't know who the picks are. Yeah. I don't know who's coming down the pipe. Couldn't tell you. It used to be Ron DeSantis, right? Everybody said, well, Ron DeSantis is the hot young guy. He was the super successful governor. He was awesome during COVID. He's the future. And then his primary candidacy was just awful. It was what a terrible campaign. And two, him and Trump got into it so hard that I think whoever Trump endorses is going to have a huge leg up. Even if Trump is not the future of the party, whoever he endorses has a significant leg up. And I don't think he endorses DeSantis because I think there's too much bad blood there. So again, you know, the easy pick a year ago would have been, oh, DeSantis, you know, he's the future of the GOP. Now, Asa Hutchinson. Let's just go.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have any answers to any of those questions. I'm waiting to see who his VP pick is, because I think it'll tell us a lot. Oh, good Lord. It'll tell us a lot about what direction this thing's going to go. If he picks someone like a lot of people are saying Tim Scott. Tim Scott is just Mike Pence 2.0.
Are you serious?
Yeah, a lot of people are saying Tim Scott. Yeah. Could you imagine one of those people is vice?
Come on. I know.
Yeah, I know, right? But he's just Mike Pence 2.0. So if that's the kind of people that Trump is surrounding himself with for his second go round, then.
I'm hearing like Vivek is a possibility, and then Kristi Noem, who is just, I mean,
I think whatever. Vivek would be a bold choice, but there's a lot of push back. A lot of the people around Trump are screaming, do not pick Vivek. They don't want Vivek. Vivek is not a member of their establishment types. At the end of the day, the establishment wants Trump to settle in and surround himself with establishment type people so that they can kind of carry on without him when Trump's days are numbered. Mm-hmm. They don't want Vivek. They want Tim Scott, you know. Now Kristi Noem, good Lord. All this. See, Kristi Noem and DeSantis are both ones that she didn't have quite the same profile as DeSantis did, like after like 2020, 2021, but it was pretty good. Like they were a lot better than a lot of states, and she got a lot of the credit. I guess you say she took a lot of the credit for how well they did comparatively to other parts of the country. And that's fine. That's all fair. But since that time, whether it's banging dudes who don't wear your wedding ring or passing thought crime laws, talking about God's chosen people in your state that's 99.6%, conservative Christian, and calling other people God's chosen people and passing speech laws to protect them. Kristi Noem has destroyed herself in a different but equal way that DeSantis destroyed himself. It's fascinating to watch people who are like one day are on the precipice of taking that next step to like national prominence to just belly flopping into the pool. But here we are.
Well, you mentioned it. There's someone else who is considering VP candidates, or
someone else who won't even be on the ballot everywhere is considering VPs. Yeah.
And so you see the short list. You see Aaron Rodgers, which I've seen Aaron Rodgers just if you're watching anything sports related, that this whole storyline of Aaron Rodgers, that's going to come up.
Yeah.
And then Jesse Ventura, Jesse the Body Ventura, Tulsi Gabbard, Rand Paul, which seems like kind of random Andrew Yang and then Mike Rowe. He's a considered, which is Tony Robbins and then Trisha Lindsay, who's she a civil rights attorney. Okay, great. I don't know. I mean, of those eight, like Andrew Yang, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. So Andrew Yang's another example of, now Andrew Yang never had any clout to begin with. The only reason anyone knows his name is because of the media promoting him for a little while, plus him spending lots of money. He never had any political clout to begin with, but whatever clout he may have had is long since been extinguished. He is a total nobody and he will never be anybody ever again. Mike Rowe, I mean, it's funny that he posted that. I don't know where that list came from. I don't know if that actually someone in the RFK camp actually said these are people that are being considered, but they obviously, they shouldn't have leaked that. If it was just some random retard that said that, then it should have never been on the news. It should have been dismissed. If it was a leak from the Kennedy camp, it should not have been leaked, because when you're just kind of having, you know, you're just sort of spitballing saying, hey, what do you think about this person? Do you think this person would be good? When you're just at the storyboard and you're not ready to start filming, you're not releasing that type of information, because those people haven't even been talked to personally. Like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. hasn't called up Mike Rowe and said, hey, we've been discussing this. What are your thoughts? So you shouldn't be releasing that to the public.
We're considering, we're considering you, Mike Rowe.
There was actually, believe it or not, there's been people around Trump that have talked about Tulsi Gabbard. And Tulsi, I know what you might be thinking. You might be thinking, wait a minute, she was a Democrat like 5 seconds ago. Why would she be the Republican vice presidential nominee? And the answer is well, Trump was a Democrat 5 seconds ago. So it kind of works out that way. Yeah. If the Republicans can elect a New York Democrat to be their presidential candidate, they can elect a Hawaiian Democrat to be their vice presidential candidate.
Well, I don't know. Maybe Trump saw how Tulsi Gabbard manhandled Kamala Harris on the debate stage, and he's like, okay, I can possibly get behind that, not in a sexual way, but you know.
Well, Tulsi Gabbard also had ripped Nikki Haley to shreds too, which again, all's fair. I mean, I can appreciate that she has called out some of the worst people, and bravo for her doing that, but she's a leftist. She's a leftist. So, I mean, the fact that would even been, it's like, again, it's like, what, how does MAGA respond? Cause they're all just, you know, talking about people being in the tank. They're such a cult, how they would just, everything Trump does that's even remotely good is the greatest president ever. Everything Trump does that's bad is, well, actually it's 4D chess, you guys. Here's how we're going to win in the end. He's just playing 4D chess every time he does something retarded. If Trump comes out and says, you know, whatever, Tulsi Gabbard's my VP and she's agreed, and here we go, we're going on the campaign trail. It's like, I can't wait to hear how, you know, Q and MAGA explain to the rest of us how nominating a Democrat is a good move for them for the future of the GOP. I'm all ear. And again, remember, you know, his VP pick is really important because it's setting the stage for the future. As far as RFK goes, you know, like Aaron Rodgers, that's just silly. I highly doubt that there's ever been a conversation between the two on that topic ever. I'm north of 90% sure that was just BS that CNN was peddling and other people, because they just picked out names of people who are like mutual contacts. Like Aaron Rodgers has gone on shows before and said that he like admired RFK for standing on his convictions on a couple of issues. Well, that doesn't mean that they're best friends and he's going to be his vice presidential nominee. That just means, like, I could sit, you know what? I'm going to go out here and say it. I think Sydney Sweeney's all right. I think she's a pretty good actress, and I think she's a looker too. So, wedding bells in the future, question mark?
Yeah, you compliment her one time. Oh man, that's
yeah.
It.
I'm going to be on CNN. Yeah, men connected to Sidney Sweeney. There's going to be Alan Mosley, and it's going to be my God.
Could you imagine?
Picture, that yeah,
true.
Oh, if that's what it is, that's going to be my new that's my new profile pic for the rest of time. Would be right. Would be that screenshot. Yeah, man. Yeah, hey Sidney, come on, it's too late. It'll be great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you can even keep most of your clothes on.
Yeah. Email or agent. Oh yeah, we'll get right back to you on that. Yeah, and never again.
You know, I have people write sometimes, be like, hey, if you're doing a late night show, you gotta have like, you know, like performers and stuff on the show. I'm like, yeah, let me get right on that.
Do you know anyone that can possibly come on? You know, when I ask you that, so like, well, why are you asking me unless you're wanting to come on?
But
you know,
see, I mean, because this is the thing though, is that like, you know, I've already had people on the show, like whatever. I had Ron Paul on the show. Ron Paul has more followers on Twitter than a lot of actors and musicians and, you know, whatever, sports stars or, you know, athletes or whatever, but it's apples and oranges. Like those people are so far outside of our orbit that they're not going to do me a solid and come on, it's too late. They're way more likely to say, well, you know, this is where I hang out, and we don't really talk a whole lot about the Jews. Whereas my manager looked up It's Too Late, and it seems like you guys do. And so, so we're probably going to have to give that a pass.
Look at Hollywood. You don't know about that? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, do you know how long I had to suck Harvey Weinstein's dick to get my job, and you're over here making fun? Yeah. So, I mean, look, I would love to have more different kinds of people on the show, but
yeah,
how do you even, you know, it's all a matter of you just get lucky one day and you get noticed or you make somebody laugh. Like, I'll give you a random example. We did a bit on the show where I talked about how Alex Jones is back on Twitter, and I did the thing of, do we have a picture of Alex Jones? And I had a picture of Will Sasso because, you know, he's a fat white guy. Will Sasso commented on it.
Oh,
and and I was like, okay, now how do I go from Will Sasso saw my bit and was like, hey, wait a minute, to getting him on the show?
Well, you can slide into his DMs. Right, unless he doesn't have his DMs open, I guess you're screwed.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, yeah. See, that was a fleeting moment that came and went.
Yeah,
pretty much the entire interaction was like, "Hey, wait a minute!"
It's like your life flashed before your eyes, type of thing.
Like, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And as far as that goes, like Will Sasso is like a D-list celebrity at best. So it's not like we're talking about, you know, Tom Hanks here or Morgan Freeman. We're talking about Will. No. I mean, it's not nobody, but you know.
Yeah.
But you know, Will Sasso has a way smaller following than Ron Paul does. So I mean, it's not necessarily a matter of following or whatever.
You would definitely get some more and new followers and some people going to watch your show that haven't seen your show before.
Yeah, I mean,
that's Will Sasso, the guy from Mad TV, who did that really funny Kenny Rogers bit. Yeah, I'm gonna watch that.
He did that one thing that one time. Yeah, yeah. That's how you know you're dealing with a top shelf celebrity. Is wasn't he that one guy that did that one thing that one time?
Yeah, one time. Yep.
So I don't know. So anyway, to circle back, that whole list is BS. And really, at the end of the day, they're just trying, whoever they is, they're trying to keep Robert F. Kennedy in the news for some weird reason, probably because he's pro-Israel. Like that's the one saving grace for RFK as far as the regime is concerned, is he's totally a Zionist cuck. So so he wouldn't do anything different in a lot of foreign policy news and stuff as a lot of the other ones would. But it doesn't matter because who's voting for RFK? And I mean, seriously, like who seriously is, and how are they going to vote for him? What ballot is he going to be on? I'm not aware.
Well, if it becomes a Libertarian Party candidate, and there you go. He's got that in the bag.
Oh my God, dude.
Speaking of a cult, no.
Famous Libertarian, Robert F. Kennedy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, speaking of borders,
mm-hmm.
I fucked that up. Speaking of
borders, speaking of the LP, yeah,
yeah. Are you open or closed borders?
I mean, I'm super closed borders. I don't want anyone to be able to get into the state of Tennessee without a visa and a background check, a donation to It's Too Late.
Yeah.
Especially
the last ones.
There's going to be a pigmentation test. We got a lot going on.
It's like that one, you know, Family Guy. Good. Nope.
Yeah. Anyone I think you'd be fine, though. Yeah.
I have a little shade of yellow. Little yellow.
Yeah. See, I've never quite understood why they equate that to yellow. Because to me, it's just a different color brown. I'm pretty sure yellow's jaundice. Do you guys have jaundice? Is that a thing? Are y'all like genetically at risk, or what's the news?
Yeah, when we come out of the snatch, we're just super like the sun. That's the color we come out, you know.
Oh, that's why your flag is
exactly. Yeah. And then as we get older, we start to become a little more, you know, this, mm-hmm. and then
yeah.
Although I guess if you're full Asian, you're still looking super yellow. Unless you're Japanese or Korean, then they really want their skin super white.
Yeah, as I was about to say, it's like, yeah, I've seen these Koreans, particularly the Korean chicks. Not that I just sit around all day looking at K-pop girls.
I mean, only
like a third of the day at tops, but their skin's way lighter than mine. I don't really get what happened there. Is that like, did they have something done for that, or is that like actually their birth skin color? Yeah, I don't see the yellow. I don't see it.
They have like a 15-step skin program that they do. Yeah. Like, okay, you do this, and then you want do this, and then you got to put this on, and you put the mask on, and you do this other stuff. Yeah.
One of my favorite memes, you've probably seen it. It's like a black and white drawing of an Asian kid with glasses looking at the exact same drawing, but one of them has like a Japanese flag, and one of them has a Korean flag, and the one says to the other, "You fucking subhuman filth." they're the same kid.
Yeah, just because you live under a different flag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, a sports team. You're wearing a different uniform. I don't like you anymore.
Yeah. Jay Forte says, my wife is Korean. She's white, but still a darker shade than me. Yeah, because Jay Forte is like white. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah. Jay Forte's getting it on for the Hapa ethno state. I see.
Yeah.
Kudos.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, I've seen a bunch of the people have lighter skin tone than me. Like I'm certainly not the brightest white. Like I'm not, you know, a genetically inferior Irish type with red hair and light skin and freckles or anything, but I'm also not like super dark either. Obviously
you don't wear makeup or anything to.
No, unfortunately. No. But I mean, my skin is darker than some of those people's, but I mean, really all this comes down to if we're sitting here talking about how some of their skin is really light, then there's no yellow at all. Where did the yellow come from?
I think it's just because the blacks, they, you know, they tell them that you're black, and then the Hispanics say you're brown, because to differentiate the colors, I guess. And then for the Asians, like, yeah, yellow, why not? Fuck it. You're yellow, and then the whites, the whites. You know, you can't have whites and then Asians also be whites, because you can't just put them in together. That's insane.
Yeah, well, see, because the thing is that all of this terminology is based on what white people think you people are. So,
yeah,
like South Americans, I guess, are brown, but there are black South Americans. And then, of course, Africans are black. But Indians are a different color, but West Indians are darker, and like East Indians are lighter. And then, of course, like Southeast Asians are different than like East Asians.
Those are the dirty ones.
I mean, Mongolians are Asians too, but they're like a different species than like Southeast Asians. Y'all are from different planets.
Drinking that goat blood.
Yeah. Just raping and murdering 2/3 of the continent.
Killing that goat and drinking that blood. And then everyone that's Genghis Khan related has some kind of mark or something to let you know this.
Yeah. So anyway, if there's anyone still listening, I hope this answers your question about RFK Jr.'s vice presidential pick.
Yeah. And our thoughts on borders.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We moved on already. We're on to that. Yeah, right. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm super closed borders. I don't want any of you people coming to Tennessee. I mean, you can visit with all the proper documentation. You certainly can
knock on the door politely, you know, tell a good knock-knock joke, and then, yeah, you're good to go. Come on in.
Yeah.
Like, just waltz right in. Like, hey, guess what?
There'd be a really serious, like, naturalization process for you to come be here. But you would still be a second-class citizen, even if you were allowed. I mean, obviously. Are you kidding?
Yeah, and from Tennessee, like your whole family history is Tennessee.
You would also be subject to a totally separate tier of the justice system. Like if you came here and you did anything, oh my God. Like you're going to hope that you get deported. You're going to really wish you got deported instead of what's going to happen.
Well,
so yeah, that's my stance. You know, we're making jokes, but the thing is, we talked about this earlier, is that there's the imaginary line, open borders people. They say that, you know,
there's an imaginary line right here.
The only just and libertarian position is fully open borders. And anyone who wants a border is wanting the state to enforce an imaginary line between two different locations. And so first of all, you're gay. And second of all, when you say imaginary line because there's no real difference between this side and this side, that's really weird of you to say, because the people on that side of the line look way different than the people on this side of the line for it to be imaginary.
But what about
retard?
What about the line between Kansas and Nebraska? I mean, they look pretty similar, right?
I'm not convinced those are real places.
Okay.
Yeah. Never been there. Well, I don't think those are actually real.
That's a pretty good argument. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I feel like a lot of those states could just combine. Like
they probably should. Yeah. Just be one long strip.
Yeah. Yeah.
All exactly. The Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, part of Texas. There you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
Just one long strip.
Did this country have so much Dakota that we felt like we needed to break it into two? I don't agree. What were the Dakotas such a powerful faction politically that we needed to separate them? That's impressive, but that doesn't seem accurate. No. So in all seriousness, to call it imaginary is ridiculous, because for the people that think about more things about, you know, actually thinking about society and thinking about culture and stuff.
But I don't see the line. I go to the border. I don't see no line.
That doesn't necessarily have to mean ethnic and racial, but ethnic and racial, certainly it plays a huge part of it. But there is a huge difference. Like, cause if you're open borders, then and you think that all of those lines are imaginary, then you think they all are. The whole world, every line is imaginary. Well, if that's, then doesn't it seem really weird to you that the different areas across those different imaginary lines that you keep on speaking of have wildly different people with wildly different worldviews and genetics and values and everything else? So it's almost like actually there is a demarcation line between these different groups of people, whether you really want to admit it or not. Now, you might be against the state enforcing it, but okay, but what do you mean by the state? Like, you have to really break these things down. Cause I know that the autistic libertarian type who says the state, they really are just, they don't want to define that term. Are you talking about like the Leviathan state? Are you talking about the federal government? Are you talking about any of the individual state governments? Are you talking about local government? I mean, are you going down to the county level too? Do you think that if a county of 10,000 people that are all culturally, traditionally, racially, religiously, ethnically, significantly homogenous, you think that they should not be allowed to maintain that community the way they want? Because I thought we were for property rights and all that stuff. So if they want to be a little bit more nuanced with their argument and say that, well, this is a private property issue and the U.S. government doesn't own everything or shouldn't own everything and shouldn't get that say, I would be willing to bet that if the U.S. government said, okay, this is not our problem anymore, you guys do whatever you want. And then if the state of Texas says we want to shut down, then they'll go after the state of Texas. They've defeated the federal Leviathan. Now they want to defeat the Texas Leviathan. Okay, well, now it gets to like your border counties. Well, what if the border counties want to shut it down and not let people into their counties? Are you then now going to go after all those border counties? Now we're going to go after all of the individual townships until eventually you haven't actually respected those property rights at all. And oh, by the way, while we were having this whole little exercise, a bunch of Haitians are like eating people's dicks. So congratulations, I guess. The most damning thing for these people is they, and I'm not going to use that phrase that like Pete always uses of living in Encampistead in your head. Like, I'm not going to be completely dismissive of that worldview, but it's the fact that if you have literal millions, first of all, your country of like 330 million people already has 329,959,000 of those 330 million people don't support you or your worldview. And if they had to choose between that world or shooting you in the head, they would be loading the gun right now. Those are the odds you're already up against. Now, there's an extra 10, 20 plus million people coming across the border, and 99.9999% of those people are totally in agreement. Yeah, let's just kill that guy. I don't believe in that bullshit. If they had to choose. So really, that's the hill you want to die on? Please, we got to protect these commies' right to come in and rape my child. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
They're leaving a bad situation. And then when they come to this situation, they want that situation to be the situation that they left in the first place.
Well, you think of the typical arguments, the typical points is, well, we have to get rid of the entitlements. Okay, I agree with you. We should, but we can't right now. We probably won't ever. We probably will have them until there's just a massive collapse and we just can't have them.
Yeah, and some people, they need those entitlements. Like, you can't just get rid of them tomorrow. I'm like, oh, tough luck. How, you know, try and figure it out now. You're like,
hey,
I don't know
what the fucking... Hey, look, if I were the emperor of America, I would get rid of them tomorrow because fuck y'all ho-ass old people who didn't save your money. But with that said, because by the way, your Social Security's not here. They spent your money. Everybody knows that. You're just taking my money. But that's neither here nor there. I don't have that power, and you guys politically certainly don't have that power. So there's no point in us doing these hypotheticals of, well, we could have open borders if we get rid of entitlements or if we revamp, you know, citizenship status. Okay, but we can't do that. That's not politically feasible.
You also have to define what a hypothetical is.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. But see, that's the other thing too. See, this is why you should just mute and block people who can't answer a poll. If there's one thing that I really appreciate that I learned from Michael Malice, it's that when he runs polls on Twitter, and he had to learn this lesson himself the hard way, he used to just run a poll and then you'd have people trying to outsmart the poll, as he would put
actually,
it.
Actually, it's C.
Yeah, exactly. The option. Like, and so then he had to start setting it to where people couldn't comment, and he would actually put in the description, here's the choices. If you can't answer a binary question, kill yourself. I mean, you know, move on. Now, he wouldn't say that, but he would say, feel free to not answer, you know, just move on with your life. Right. And I've done that. So I have been doing it where if I run polls now, I will make it where people can't comment, or I have to mention you to comment on Twitter or whatever. And I have put that verbiage before. If I were to say, you know, which would you rather have? Would you rather have rectal cancer or kidney failure? You will have tons of people who will say, well, those are both really bad. I obviously would rather have neither. Like, okay. But the question wasn't, would you rather have rectal cancer, kidney failure, or neither? That wasn't the question.
Yeah.
This is what a hypothetical is. It is a binary choice, and it's all of you non-binary people. I guess that's what they mean by non-binary.
Yeah,
is these people can't make an A or B choice.
It's also people that put show results.
Yeah,
like that's just a cop out answer. Like I don't. Yeah. You know, whenever I see a poll with that answer, is like
whatever. And also too, by the way, this is the thing. The people who are outsmarting the poll and saying, well, actually see or retweeting with, well, they left out this answer, you guys.
Yeah.
Those people think they're really smart because they think they're thinking of something that you just didn't think of. Actually, what they're demonstrating is they're really, really stupid because that wasn't a choice. It's A or B. And those people, it's the same people as like, oh, well, if I have to choose A or B, I'll just choose C. Well, you're just demonstrating that you can't be trusted to choose anything because you're too stupid to choose anything. And this idea that, well, they're both bad answers. I know they're both bad answers, but that's part of the exercise. You can't tell me that you can't choose. It's like the lesser libertarians. There's nothing libertarians hate more than the lesser of two evils. Guess the fuck what? In this world, you make decisions all the time. The economist Thomas Sowell, what does he say? He used to do interviews all the time where people would say, you talked about this bad thing. Well, what's the solution, Dr. Sowell? And he would say, there is no solution. There's no solutions to anything. There's only trade-offs. There's no such thing as a solution. There's only trade-offs.
Hmm.
You may prefer this, but it's going to cost you that. So between those two things, I mean, you can have dialysis, right? You can get on a donor list. You can find someone to donate you a new kidney, right? So I would choose the kidney failure over the rectal cancer because the rectal cancer is a really bad way to go that has a super high mortality rate. Of those two choices, it's actually not that hard to pick which one is the preferable one. But the fact that you either A, chose wrong, or B, tried to weasel out of it tells me you're actually really dumb, not really smart.
So it's between kidney failure and rectal cancer. Like if you did die of rectal cancer, it would be a draw.
Well, I mean, that would just be if someone said you lost your battle. You didn't.
Yeah.
Right. It was a draw.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, it's just. It's the thing. So at the end of the day, you know, I don't wade into those waters because I'm not going to sit here and get caught into pissing in the wind with a bunch of retards on social media. I just make fun of them and leave a smile emoji and move on with my life. Mute everyone. That's the thing. I've said this on my show. I've said this on other shows. I've said this on your show before. People should liberally mute and block people they don't like. If you see altists arguing until they're blue in the face on Twitter and it's totally dominating your feed and you're like, wow, and where you fall on the spectrum is somewhere in between. I don't give a shit. And I wish all these people would kill themselves. Just block them or mute them. Just mute them. They'll be out of the way. And that gives you more opportunities to hear from the people you do like. That's the way social media works. It's actually weird to me how many people don't do that. I think that that's actually the more interesting conversation to have is why don't people mute people more often? Dude, I've muted a lot of people. I'm not going to tell you who all I've muted on the off chance that some of them are here right now or some of them watch the show.
All right, next episode, we're going to go through your whole mute list.
It's got... Can you look that up? Is there a way to see how all the people you've muted? I know you can see your block list.
I think you can.
Can you?
I think. Which means I'm not 100% sure. But maybe.
Privacy and safety. Mute and block. Okay. Blocked accounts, muted accounts, muted words, muted notifications. Okay. Blocked accounts.
Can't imagine what your feed looks like. It's just a bunch of gray squares.
I'm looking at my blocked list right now. It's not as long as you think, and it's not super dramatic. It's mostly people who, I mean, you know, I mean, like people way the opposite of us, like just neocons.
But then, you know, muting them, it's kind of funny because if they're trying to say something to you, you're not going to see it. Because there's basically
most of my block list are the people advertising on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I block all that shit. So, yeah, those things are blocked. Like Temu is on my blocked list on Twitter. Yes, I mean, you know, that's my... Where was that? Okay, yeah. So let me go to my mute list. Will be more interesting, I think. Who have I muted? So I didn't block them because I don't want them to have the satisfaction of seeing that they're blocked, but they don't know that I can't hear them.
Yeah.
Well, LP National.
Wow! How dare you?
What can I say? AIPAC, APAC.
Yeah. So
US, Israel. Yeah.
How dare you?
CPAC, they're muted.
How dare you?
Yeah.
You don't want to see what they have to say? Come on.
I muted a coffee brand that's not Fox and Sons because fuck them.
Boom.
We only drink Fox and Sons right here. Yeah.
Brand loyalty. There we go.
Yeah. Steven Crowder. Basically, a lot of conservative ink is on here. So, like, the conservative movement is such an absolute laughing stock. A lot of them are muted.
Hey, that'd be a good poll. Which is more of a laughing stock, the conservative movement or the liberty movement? That'd be a pretty fun poll to go.
Yeah, there's some more conservative ink. Some of these people... I muted Posobiec at Jack.
Oh, Jack, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
I muted him. I muted Jordan Peterson because, I mean, he's a hardcore Israel cuck, number one. And number two, people just share him constantly like, oh, look at this brilliant thing Dr. Peterson said. I'm like, shut the fuck up. So, again, I don't have to worry about Jordan Peterson because I don't subscribe to him. It's all of you idiots sharing Jordan Peterson that makes me angry. So now I have to mute him.
Yeah, but if they quote him and you just see him be like, this account has been muted, or you've muted this account or whatever it says. And you're just like,
I muted the NRA. They're just gun grabbers that raise money from idiots.
Yeah, but from what I've heard, the NRA is like an evil group that just wants everyone to own a gun.
Yeah. There's some more conservative ink, like Tommy Lauren, you know, Ian Miles Chang, whatever. Yeah, I don't know you people's names. Dan Bongino, Cat Turd, Kyle Rittenhouse. I muted Dinesh D'Souza. I muted Dinesh D'Souza. I don't want to hear from that thing. Keep that funny, freak away from me.
I think it's funny whenever these big names, they get fooled by Dennis. Though that's good stuff right there. That's good entertainment.
Yeah. Women should just... I mean, women should know that their opinions are neither sought nor warranted. So mute all women. That's obvious. That's not true. I don't have all women muted. There are a lot of women on my muted list, but no, I don't mute all. Vermin Supreme, Meghan McCain, Stephen Colbert.
Oh, man. Stephen, ugh. What happened to that guy?
Yeah, right? See, I don't want to see that crap.
Yeah.
That Brooklyn Dad Defiant, you know that guy?
Yeah.
He's muted. I don't want to see that shit. And same thing there. I would never normally see him because I'm not a leftist retard. But people trying to dunk on him to their three followers. I'm tired of seeing
this fool. Look at this fool.
Yeah. I'm tired of it. So I have to mute it because I'm tired of it.
Mute that person and you mute the person that quoted that person. There you go. Perfect.
If they keep on trying, then yeah.
It's your first warning. Don't quote mother. Don't quote this guy.
Yeah. Nick Sarwark. You know, I muted him a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm getting deep into the mute list now. Like, these are people that have been muted for years. So
this would be a good segment. Go through Alan's mute list. And
some of these people could be dead and I just didn't hear about it. You know, you know, like Robert Reich, that I Archie guy that everybody talked about all the time.
Archie.
He was like a left libertarian.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, muted dude. Jesus.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah. Bill Kristol.
Yeah.
I muted at Ukraine.
Well, I guess we know what your loyalties are.
I muted Zelensky while we're on that topic.
Wow. You don't like his comedy? You don't like his comedy?
I muted Adam Kinzinger, who, funny enough, has a big Ukrainian and Israeli flag in his profile right now. Jesus Christ.
All right.
I have skipped over some people that I'm not going to name, by the way. Sorry, I'm just not going to. Not on air.
Yeah.
I was about to say, I did not mute Nico. This is a different Nico. This is
it's so funny.
You're someone called Nico, but
it's like she pissed
it's some kind
so
of sports
much.
Account or something. It's not her. Unless she does high school sports. I'm pretty sure it's not her.
Oh, that'd be a huge surprise to me. Like, oh man, you knew football this whole time? How dare you?
Yeah. She just doesn't like she's just not a member of the Bang Bang Niner gang. What can I say?
No. Someday.
I muted Pokimane.
Okay.
I muted Skip Bayless.
Oh man, did you see that classic tweet he did where everyone was like making fun of him? He said, "All in, comma, my ass." That was a legit tweet from Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
Whew, man, I'm glad you put in that comma. Whew.
Yeah. Stephen King muted. Dan Rather. Is he still alive? I don't know.
No, I think he's gone.
The World Economic Forum. Beto O'Rourke. George Takei. Taki, again,
yeah, I don't,
people,
yeah,
just yeah. George,
just Sulu, yeah, just call him Sulu.
Yeah, you want to talk about all in his ass?
Oh no, Dan Rather is still kicking. I was wrong.
Okay,
I don't want to get.
See, I've muted at CNN because I just again I don't a I don't want to see anything that's on CNN and B right. I don't want to see anything you want me to see from CNN.
All right, I'm gonna find an article from CNN just for you next time.
Oh, there's somebody I have muted that we talked about earlier. I'm not going to name.
Okay.
Yeah. There's that Joe from Jersey. Oh, I muted Folgers. Boom. Fox and Sons only.
I mean,
I'll tell you this one. Fuck Hannah Cox. She's muted. Wow, I'm just jealous because her dick's bigger than mine. My bad.
How dare you?
Brad Palumbo muted, and also please face the wall now. Let's see. For some reason, I muted AT&T Business. I'm not sure. It must have been an advertisement. Yeah, it must have been an advertisement. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Any other like big ones? Oh, there's another person I have muted. There's a person I have muted who was tweeting about borders that then a bunch of people wanted to argue with him. I had him muted to begin with and the people arguing with him muted.
Hmm.
And I still saw it. God.
Are you saying that muting doesn't work?
Oh, it works, but it's more that like if you share something, like I don't have you muted. If you share something from someone who I do have muted, I'll see your tweet that says, "Whoa, guys, check out this." Okay, and then under that, it'll say, "This is from an account you have muted."
So if
and
I
then
just
I'm like,
it,
I can't help but to click on it because I'm like, I wonder what Shane's got himself into. And I click on it and then boom. No, stop it. No, that's when once two or three of those happen, that's when then I pull you aside and say, "Okay, listen,
I'm going to quote someone." And I'm literally just going to put, this is for Alan Mosley. Oh,
yeah. At Alan Mosley TV.
Yeah.
See this question mark? Yeah. Wow, this is a long ass list. I've actually seen three or four of the people arguing on the borders thread in my mute list since we've been talking. It's just, There's some more women. It's because they're dumb, you know. Let's see. Tons of advertising. I have Spike Cohen muted.
Wow, how dare you?
I'm just tired of hearing bullshit. And when he was like running as like the VP candidate or whatever for the LP, I was like, all right, well, you just don't matter anymore then. Apparently I have Lauren Chen muted, chick from Blaze or whatever. Oops. What can I say?
She's a good follow.
Yeah, there are plenty more, but I'm not going to,
I'm not going to name names.
Yeah. I've already named a few names. I have Julie Baralski muted. Remember her? Do you remember Julie? Yeah. I think she kind of moved on. Didn't she?
Yeah. Yeah. She has a family now, so she's on to more important things.
Wow. Somebody did that, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Yikes. I have Dave Rubin muted. You know.
Yeah, you wouldn't like what he's talking about right now.
Yeah.
Hey, guess where I'm at? I'm at freaking Tel Aviv. It's beautiful over here.
Yeah, I have AOC muted.
The whole thing with Dave Rubin with those pictures he's taking where he's like, you know, he's doing the whole that. It reminds me of that picture where Conan O'Brien was in Haiti. Oh man, Haiti's a beautiful country. Oh, you know, he's in the water and drinking a coconut, whatever it was. And you're just like, people are saying, hey, you know, there's like 90% of the other countries you should look at. Anyway.
Charlie Kirk from Turning Point. Yeah, I have him muted. Here, listen to this. Assuming that this is in reverse chronological order, that would mean that the person on the very bottom of the mute list was the first person I ever muted, right?
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's... And nothing of value has been lost for me. It's great.
You know, of all the people you've listed, he's probably the worst one.
Yeah, I mean,
I could be kidding or not. I don't know yet.
Sure. I mean, actually, on that, just on that list, I had Colbert muted, I had Jimmy Fallon muted, I had Jimmy Kimmel muted. Those might have been the three bigs that I had muted, particularly of late night people. Yeah. So anyway, all that is just to say, like, dude, I'm all for balkanization everywhere at all times.
Yeah,
I'm for strong borders, starting with the mute feature. Just separate. I'm big time for segregation. Huge segregationist over here, you guys.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, if they want to know more about your views on segregation, where can they go find that?
They can go to...
If they can get through the border, you know, where, you know, they can
actually... Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can find me on Twitter, Alan Mosley TV, YouTube, Alan Mosley TV, Twitch, Alan Mosley TV.
Sense of the pattern here.
Yeah, exactly. All the channels are Alan Mosley TV. They can get new episodes if it's too late, Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern time. All they have to search is It's Too Late with Alan Mosley or Alan Mosley TV.
Well, there you go. Well, thanks again for tuning in to this amazing episode.
Was it?
Probably half of it, I think, was all right, right? The other half was kind of hit or miss.
This is one of these weird shows that when we stop talking about the topic, that's when it's good. When we're on topic, it's just shit.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Just have that, like, uncomfortable silence. Just don't talk.
Yeah. Well, you know me, my biggest criticism is making fun of people that all they're doing is just regurgitating what someone better than them already said. So there's like a whole bunch of wannabe libertarian pundits out there that are just regurgitating what Tom Woods already said. I can promise you Tom Woods didn't say half the shit we said tonight. Yeah. At least not, you know, on air. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people are like that, but mm-hmm. Anyway, so tune in hopefully next time for episode 8.
When will that be?
Maybe this upcoming Friday. I don't know.
I'll find out on Friday around noon. Yeah.
Oh man, that's such a good host.
Mm-hmm. I love doing shows like this because I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. There you go. All right. See you later, everybody.